You Talk podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Wow. Someone's excited, Paul.
Yeah, we're super excited today. Oh, we are talking.
Now
we're live.
Hi, everybody.
I'm going to move my camera.
And Mom, if you're watching, I was not trying to ignore you. I just forgot to respond.
Important business.
Hi, Lacey's mom. Thank you for joining us today. We actually, Lacey's she wanted to respond. We actually said no.
Yep.
We said
too late.
You can't do that. We're
live.
Have 30 seconds to go.
We have 30 seconds to go. Yep.
So, how is everyone? Casey, how are you?
You know, I'm not doing too bad today. In fact, I'm doing pretty good, Paul.
Oh, that's good.
Aww, yeah. Yay.
Watermelon rutabaga.
Rutabaga, watermelon, rutabaga, watermelon, watermelon, rutabaga, rutabaga, watermelon.
Why would you
do that much better this
those
time?
Together.
I did much better this time.
This is why you had to practice these things.
When I was in drama in high school, that was the, if you were in the background and you were supposed to be having a conversation, but it wasn't supposed to be heard, if you say rutabaga and watermelon, you're like your lips look like you're having a conversation with like it hits lots of different. I don't know. That's just what I was told to do. So, Paul.
Well, that's like so if we'll you say olive juice, it's supposed to look like I love you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
No, it's elephant shoes.
Oh, I thought it was olive juice.
Is that a Boston thing too? Olive juice.
Elephant shoes. Anyways, so
there you go.
Casey, we missed you last week.
Yeah, I missed y'all's too, but it's good to be back.
So
I love not being able to defend myself and my Star Wars taste.
I would never
love Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
My wife loved Jar Jar Binks.
My wife, who hasn't really watched Star Wars, knew who Jar Jar Binks was and knew what that meant.
We want to be current in this day and age that we talk about a movie that came out.
Yeah, in 1999.
Wait, time
Were you guys
out.
Even
really?
Born
Episode
then?
One came out in 1999.
Oh, yeah. Are you old now?
That's 22 ago.
You know,
I wasn't doing
something.
The math.
Oh my!
I read something to the effect of when I hear 20 years ago, I think of 1980.
Yep. Yes, when I hear 10, I think 1990.
Yeah. Not realizing that 20 years ago now
it was 2000,
yeah.
2001. Like past, like Y2K is over, and there's not.
Oh, man.
We all thought that was silly.
Yeah.
Where were you guys on the turn of the millennium?
I was at one of my best friend's house, and neither of us wanted to be there because we were in different grades, and we both had parties that we were invited to, but our parents made us stay together because they thought the other one would be alone if
anything happened.
If I went to the party, then he would be alone, home alone all night, and if he went to the party, I'd be home. Like, and we both were like, oh, we both could have just
How
gone to our
you?
Parties.
Would have been easily solved.
I was 14.
Oh, geez.
I know. Yeah.
I know.
Don't
the
ask
real
me that.
Parties, right? The Yeah.
So you weren't going to the same party?
No, we were in different grades, so we had different friends.
You losers.
Yeah. I'm fairly confident I was probably with Brandy. We spent all New Year's Eves together, and then we had children, and then we tried New Year's Eves together with children, and then just have vetoed that since.
Once you have kids, New Year's Eve seems to go away.
We do. We do a Netflix countdown at like 8 o'clock at night. And we're like, ha, 3, 2, 1, yay, go to bed.
There's a Netflix countdown?
There are multiple. Several. Like different cartoon characters that they do countdowns with.
PBS won this last.
Oh, did we do PBS?
I put on Netflix like the during Christmas we have like a log.
Oh yeah,
the Yule log.
But you got to put it on mute because they have some silly music on.
Yeah,
I bet you could change that though. I'm sure you could.
I don't know.
Something over top of it.
Oh, I'm sure I can, but I'm
yes. Sure. It's from a different input setting though.
Yes, it's all about the inputs. It's all about the inputs. And Stacey, where were you during Y2K?
I was at a friend's house for a slumber party.
Were you 13?
I was 14. I guess. You were 13.
Oh my gosh.
It was 1999.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking 2000. Sorry.
Yeah, but the boy I liked was there, so I was really excited.
I was not there. I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't know you yet, honey.
Out of 13, huh? And 14. I'm sorry. Where were you at Y2K?
I said I was probably with Brandy.
Oh, that's right. You told me that. Yeah. Okay. Were you changing diapers?
What?
Were you changing your own diapers at that point?
No, I was seven. No, I was a little older, but not
seven.
That.
You were, seven.
Okay, hold on. Pause a second. You were engaged?
I was engaged.
And you were 14 and 13, and you were seven?
Wait, yeah. No. I was 6 months from being, wait.
Did you get engaged in 2000 or 99? That'll
remember,
help.
They had a long engagement.
We had a long engagement. We wanted to be married in 2000, but we waited until 2001, as so I'm 99. Mentally thinking. So yes, I was engaged in 1999.
Okay. All right.
Right?
So 7 year old.
Jeff, please comment.
I was not engaged.
Casey was engaged.
Casey was engaged with whatever TV show, whatever cartoon was on.
It was probably VeggieTales. I can tell you that.
Did you stay up till midnight?
Oh, heck yeah. That has been my thing ever since I knew it was a thing.
Yeah.
Like, I remember we were living in West Point, Nebraska at the time, and we were just getting ready to start the process of moving to Kansas. So that was going to start like 2 or 3 days later. So we were definitely at home, kind of soaking up the last moments of being in West Point as a family. So
that makes sense. Wow. Our 7 year old would not stay up till midnight.
No. We would not want our 7 year old to stay up till midnight because
we're in a different bracket.
Where were you, Paul?
I was in Manchester, New Hampshire. And at the stroke of midnight, I was crossing the bridge over the Merrimack River.
Cool.
Because my girlfriend and I had a huge fight, and I was like, I'm out of here. And I started walking.
Oh, happy
Paul
New Year.
Was not engaged.
I was not engaged, no.
No. Happy New Year.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird night. Yeah. But I remember like hearing all the, and I was like, great, Y2K. Of course, I looked around and went, wow, nothing shut down.
Yeah. Yeah, no planes
lights
are
still on. Yeah. Yep.
The bridge didn't collapse.
And that was like a whole.
Boy, that was
weird.
Yeah, there weren't.
I remember that. Enough.
Computer like, systems were going to work. And
that could have been a rock bottom.
That could have been a rock
bottom. Wow.
Almost. Oh, good transition, Stacey.
I was just hoping.
Let's point it out. So.
Here's where I'll date that a bit. I heard what was going to go on based on. So I was just hoping our VCR would still work. Like that.
The fact that you still had a VCR was.
Well, because it was 1999.
DVD was like brand new.
Yeah, no.
We couldn't afford that.
I'm kidding. I don't know.
Or Laserdisc.
Laserdisc.
Hey, I had a beta before VHS.
I did not have a beta.
We had a beta.
We
I don't know what a beta is.
It was like the competitor to VHS.
It was before VHS.
Yeah.
Maybe I did see.
It was smaller. My friend had a beta version of, you ever seen the movie Night of the Comet?
No.
Oh, when the Halley's Comet came by and the Earth went into the tail of Halley's Comet, and so all these people turned to red dust except for some.
No.
And then some people turned into like zombies. And it was the worst copy of this movie on beta. And we're trying to watch it and we couldn't see anything. We're like, what's going on? I don't know. In the daytime it was fine, but when any night scenes it was like, what's happening? We would hear sounds and we're like, okay.
It was all right.
And that's when the action happens in a zombie movie.
Yeah. So I would say that watching of Night of the Comet on beta was not my rock bottom. Mm. But so we're talking about rock bottom. I know we're taking
we're really awkwardly transitioning from Y2K.
We're taking like this fun memory to this topic that we before we had a little conversation about how this is a real hard topic to talk about.
Yeah,
I said that right. So I guess we should start. Let's start with our reading.
Yep.
Let's get ourselves in a frame of mind where David was sitting there and he had a little.
Yep.
So who's reading that today?
Casey's reading Psalm 6.
Hold on. I got to do this.
All right. Uh-oh. What translation are you using?
English Standard Version.
Well, that's what I got.
What am I looking up?
Psalm 6, 1 to 7.
I should have had this paired. Producer, am I?
We totally all walked down here. We were eating dinner together beforehand and we're like, oh, it's 6:55. Five. We better get down.
Better go.
Okay.
It's like we like each other or something.
All right.
There we go.
We just tolerate each other. I think that's what it is.
There's behind the scenes drama with all of us, you know.
Yeah.
We only all put right. on a smile when we enter all the right. studio.
I blame the cocaine use.
Rock bottom.
Rock bottom.
That's terrible.
All right. So
that's a rock bottom joke.
Oh my.
So trying to transition off of that. I'm part of the worst of us five about doing natural transitions, but it's true. That's not a strength of mine in public speaking. But Psalm chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled, for my soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all of my foes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yeah, those are those,
those
that
are the
like
ones I'm like, thanks.
Thanks be to God. Or like when Jesus chews you out, like chews out the Pharisees, and we're like, this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise you, O Christ. yeah, we can get a lot of those in Lent. But yeah, so this is one of those, it's called one of the penitential, Psalms where, you know, David is just crying out to God. And he's troubled. There's, you know, there's physical sickness. At least it reads that there's physical sickness. There's, this angst in his spirit, in his soul. And he just is waiting for relief, right? How long, oh Lord? And so, you know, we were talking beforehand and, you know, talking about, you know, hitting rock bottom, because that's kind of that theme that we're looking at rocks. And as we talk about rock bottom, we realize we all have different ideas of what rock bottom might be. And we know you all probably have different ideas of what rock bottom might be. And maybe you've been at rock bottom in your life. Maybe your definition of rock bottom is this is the worst it's been in my life. Or maybe you're at a point where you're like, I don't even know what rock bottom would be like. I feel like I've had, you know, things have gone. Yes, I've had struggles. Yes, I've had, you know, loved ones who have passed away, but I see God's blessings. I have a house. I have family to turn to. And so that's why, you know, when Paul kind of introduced this, that we realized this is really a hard conversation to have, because as we were talking, none of us really feel like we've hit rock bottom. But we were trying to think about what are some feelings like when we're at our bottom, whatever that is, what are feelings associated with that for you guys? And for those of you joining us online, if you know, what are some of those feelings associated with that pit that you've been in at some point in your life?
I mean,
feelings.
Yeah. Feelings.
All right, ladies, can you talk about your feelings, please?
Yeah, Casey started.
So that feeling hurts right there.
Feelings of hurt.
But there you go. I was going to say feelings of, I hate this word, but it's the truth. We all, no one wants to feel like a failure. Mm-hmm. And I think if you are at a low spot or rock bottom, that I have failed in some way.
That's very accurate.
I have failed to provide. I have failed to achieve. I have failed to believe. So I think maybe...
Failure. Well, feeling a failure.
A feeling, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, because unless it's some unmitigated just disaster that happens, you can look at choices you made that, you know, whether it's a rock bottom or at least a low point, some of it, and maybe even a good portion of it, might not be your fault, but you can find those moments where it is yours. And it, for me, in those what I'll call the lulls of my life, I haven't focused on, well, you know, the circumstances, this is the perfect storm of about five different things. I focus on here's the one part of those five that I contributed on, and therefore it's all me. I failed. This is all on me, and therefore it might be all on me to get me out. And how do I get myself out? Like it's a panic cycle for me. Right. It's not fun. But that feeling of failure, like I wasn't thinking that word at all, and that's probably the closest thing that at least I've dealt with in those moments.
I don't feel like I've really hit a true rock bottom, but as I was thinking about this week, there was one example that I felt probably the closest to what if I were at a rock bottom that I would probably feel like, and that was when we moved to Michigan. We'd been there 5 months, and our oldest daughter, we're at the library, and she was standing at a play table and fell, and for the next couple of days just wouldn't put any weight on her leg. So we eventually took her to the doctor, and they took an x-ray, and she had broken her leg. We're like, well, that's really weird. Yeah. Like, she was standing and she must have twisted or something when she fell. So she broke her leg right before Christmas, and she was in a cast, healed up fine. And then
two months later
she was playing on the bed with Landon, and she fell off the bed and just just was screaming right away. We knew that she had really hurt herself, but then the next morning she still was really upset. This was like right before bed. So the next morning we took her into the doctor, and initially they took x-rays and didn't see anything. So they sent us home, just said, keep an eye on it, see how she puts weight on it. And then I get a call later. I just put her down for a nap. I said, we looked at him again and we think that it is broken and we would like you to come back. And in the meantime, are you safe? And I was like, yeah, like you're safe at home. Like your husband, you're safe with your husband. I'm like, what? No, yes, I'm fine. We're very safe. And so then I just kind of had this panic, like shut down, like what is happening? They think that something is happening here that's not.
Yeah.
And it was a doctor we'd never seen before. We'd only been there 4 months. So they didn't really know us. At this point, we've been there 6 or 7, but they didn't really know us. So we ended up and went back and they wanted you to come too. So as we're there.
Did they ask me to come or did they?
I don't remember.
Did I just show up? I feel like I just showed up and they were like on edge.
Maybe that's why.
Because you were pregnant.
I was pregnant with Sam. So he took her back, took Alex back for the x-rays. And while they're getting ready to take him, the nurse said something to you.
She got a phone call and then looked at me and goes, you know why you're here? And we had kind of had this guy. I said, well, I'm guessing this is why. And she goes, yeah. So I can't take any x-rays here.
The doctor had called Child Protective Services. And so we are under investigation for child abuse with our daughter. And we're in this place where we had lived for barely seven months. And we were kind of getting to know people. But it was that feeling of like, no one really knows us well enough to say, absolutely not. They're like, those allegations are crazy. Yep. And so we had to take her back to the hospital. No.
Yeah.
We took her home.
We took her home.
As we were getting ready for bed.
No. We called the senior pastor's wife to come watch Landon while we took Alex to the hospital. Because I think she got 15 x-rays in the span of this 12 hours. Oh, so, because they had to do a full body scan to see if there were any other breaks. And again, Stacy's pregnant. Alex is not really enjoying this, as you might imagine. She's like just in a diaper on a metal slab. Yeah. And we have to hold her down. And we know her leg's broken. And so, like, so then we go home. We put Alex to bed. And we're just like, there's this. All right, the day's over. We can take a breath.
Done.
We can move forward.
We know nothing happened. We're okay.
And then I'm
getting Landon into bed and I see red and white lights.
Red and blue.
Red and blue lights on the ceiling. And I'm like, Anthony, there's a police car pulling into our driveway.
There are two police cars pulling into our driveway.
So they came and they did an investigation. They questioned you and then they questioned me. But the questions are like, do you have family nearby?
No.
Does your husband work a lot?
Yeah.
Like all the wrong answers, but like, I swear isn't what it looks like. Yeah. Like, do you feel like you have a support system here? Well, not really yet, but we haven't been here very long. I could tell you different things.
I think the best, quote unquote, for those of you who aren't watching the video, air quotes, the best part of this story was, now what happened the first time? And Stacy was able to say, well, I had just left the room and Anthony was alone with Alex in the library, blah, blah, blah. And then the second time, what happened? Stacy says, well, I just left the room and Anthony was watching the kids on the, and so it was just like, oh.
And I wasn't, incriminating. So then we had to take Landon to the hospital.
Oh, you got the real best part of this story. they had to walk through the house to check and make sure that we have food in our fridge and that we have a bed for our children and things like that. So Landon's sleeping. And so he's like, can I just, like, he was able to open the door and go, okay, yeah, I see that there's a bed in there. And then he goes to the fridge to make sure that there's food in the fridge.
For you, mom and dad.
Don and Pam, thank you. Because Stacy's parents had just been there
a few days before.
They always fill the fridge. So we open in the front of it. Like, there's plenty of food. It had just kind of gotten shoved in the fridge. And so the front is beer and cider. And I go,
just gets better.
It just keeps getting better. And so then we're like, we have the conversation. We talk through it all. And we're like, we're answering all the go-around questions. But the guy was, the CPS guy, he was really nice. Yeah. He was very, he really was doing, you know. And then eventually the cops are like, I don't think there's a threat. Can we leave now? Yep, you can leave. Okay. And we're like, all right, now we can be done. And then he looks at us and says, oh, by the way, we got Alex checked out. But we need to have Landon checked out. So we need you to wake him up.
Oh, no.
This 2-year-old who loves to sleep. We need you to wake him up at 10 o'clock at night while we're watching you. And
put him in the car.
And put him
in. So he's like shrieking, I don't want to go! I don't want to go! And so were like, well, normally I would like pick you up and just carry you out to the car. But
now,
like,
I'm afraid.
I have to be very gentle, like overly gentle. It was just, so we had to take him into the hospital. Mm-hmm. And the guy stayed with us the whole time. It took us a little while to get back there. Yep. But this whole time I just felt like the scarlet letter, like, does everybody know?
Yep.
And we took him back to the nurses then. And then of course they all know this is a CPS case. And one nurse, I'm so thankful for her. She's like, what are you doing here? She took one look at Landon. She's like, you should not be here. You should not have to go through this. I'm like, thank you for seeing that and reassuring me. Because at this point I'm like, am I a bad parent? Like, I'm questioning everything. So I think that's like those feelings of that. So we went through all that, and then I don't even remember. Like,
even the caseworker was like,
and then the caseworker
was just like, I don't see anything. We got to send this off.
The emergency guy. And then we were assigned a caseworker who had to come to our house a couple times. And then we get all the paper, like the bills. So this continued. Like, she, after I think a month or two, signed off and said, your case, they send all of Alex's results. I don't know. Anyway, through all this, the feelings were just like, I'm all alone. I failed as a parent. There's something that I did majorly wrong that I can't control. This feeling of, I can't control anything here. And despair too. Like, what if they take my children away? They have no reason to, but what if they do? And then it was this constant reminder, because the bills took like 6 or 7 months for child. I mean, the Department of Health and Human Services had to pay for these. They said, don't pay for these yourself. We will pay for them. So when they come, just forward them to our office. We'll cover it. But it took 6 or 7 months. So then I'm getting all these at least once a month past due bills and phone calls. And I explain over and over and over, here's what happened. They said they're going to pay. I've submitted everything. And so it was just this constant like nagging of, it's not done yet. Like, are they still investigating? What's wrong? And just this feeling of being alone and frustrated. And then every time we drove past, and I was in St. Joe 2 weeks ago, and I was getting close to that pediatrician's office. I'm like, I can't continue on this road. So I turned off. Every time I would drive by it, then after that was just this tense feeling of like, that was bad, things happened there, and revisit it. And
By the way, that's still open. That's
No, actually they did. Like, it ended up being a good thing, because we found out that Alex was born in St. Louis, which is a very, very sunshiny part of the country. And when we moved to Michigan, we didn't realize that Michigan is the second lowest sunshine state in the U.S. And so
next to Buffalo,
she had.
If she had been born in St. Joe, Michigan, the pediatrician would have said, here are your vitamin D supplements. Like, you need to supplement immediately. She was a breastfed baby, so she wasn't getting it from formula. Yeah. So we moved. Up, they had, I think, just assumed, like, we didn't hear that she needed that, so we weren't. I maybe once in a while was giving her, but she had a vitamin D deficiency because she wasn't getting enough sunshine, vitamin D from sunshine. And we found out what the issue was. Her bones were weak because she had vitamin D deficiency. So then we started giving her drops, and she hasn't broken a bone since. So amidst it, we see there was a reason and a purpose in this, because that could have perpetuated, but the way that it all happened,
it was a long,
long journey.
A long way around that.
Yeah.
So looking back, I could see that could have become a rock bottom for me and really kind of destroyed my outlook.
You explained your feelings. What was your feelings during that?
Because you even that next day, you called into the office. You're like, there's an open investigation. Can I
come in? Because the senior pastor knew what was going on, because his wife watched Landon while we were taking Alex in. But I was like, I'm supposed to teach in the school tomorrow. Can I even step foot in the building tomorrow? And they were like, no, you're fine. There's not until there's a
charge.
There's a charge. Yeah, this is just an investigation. Until there's a charge, you're I didn't really know what to think. Because like we said, we knew there was nothing there. I mean, we knew that we weren't abusing our children. There was some frustration in there, and like how quickly all of this happened, kind of against us who were trying to take care of our children, and we hear all of these stories about, you know, some of these things that go on for years with abuse. And it just kind of getting overlooked. So that was some frustration. But it really just was this, like, initially it was this gut punch of like, kind of like Stacy said, well, what if we get a case manager that's just in a bad mood, that just looks at the x-rays and goes, something's wrong, it must be you, we're taking your kids. And so that's where, and for me, the rock bottom is usually not this outside thing. It's because I've started to spiral. I've started to think of the what ifs.
Yes.
And all the what ifs are negative what ifs. And so I go around and around and around until I get to this point where I'm just like, I either have to, I just can't function because anything I do will perpetuate this negative cycle.
Now, Lacey, you mentioned something similar to that in our conversation earlier tonight about how you just, something similar to that.
Yeah. I'm an overthinker, overanalyzer, overfeeler. Yeah. That sounded bad. But
Jeff doesn't mind.
No.
Well.
No, but I will constantly, it's the same thing, whether I'm like, oh, that wall's blue. Oh, that wall's blue. Why is that wall blue? What if we painted this wall blue this way? What if we did it this way? Exactly. I can choose something and overanalyze it.
Don't overanalyze my blue wall.
I do like the blue walls. But sometimes it won't stop, you know, and it's just like, I can't shut my mind off because I'm thinking about this almost like a tornado because it'll start out and it's like, okay, there's all these things and maybe one or two things will fly out, but then it's still, now it's spinning faster over one thing.
Yes.
And it may honestly be 100% out of my control or not even my problem or my issue.
Or completely made up.
Yes.
Because you've
overthought it.
Yeah.
And when I've had, because I get in those same kind of funks, like things that aren't reality, what I'm spiraling on start to become reality. Like, they're like, this hasn't happened yet, but there's no way it's not going to happen. Yeah. Like, there's no way that things could work out just this, like the right way. Everything's going to work out wrong. So I've got to be prepared for that. It's like, and it just, it's a spiral. It just gets, like, it's literally like, you know, kind of when you watch water go down a drain, it gets faster and closer and closer and closer. And it's like,
Then it will eventually stop. But how it stops is, you know, do you just shut down for 3 or 4 days? Do you, you know, there's coping mechanisms. We were discussing this. I'm like, you know, there's lots of coping mechanisms. Some people like to exercise, you know,
there
some
good
people.
Coping mechanisms.
Yes. And then there's bad coping. Watermelon rutabaga.
Yeah. But there's. Add that to the shirts.
Yeah. So, you know, I giggled about this. I'm like, well, you could turn to food. You could turn to alcohol. You could turn to Jesus. There are three coping mechanisms right there, and two of them will make your butt big and one will not. So, you know, you could turn to Jesus. See it there, Casey. I did it for you.
Yes. But I said we need to put that on air.
Jesus won't make your butt big. But in those times, how do you turn towards Jesus?
Yeah.
What makes you think I need Jesus right now? How do you get yourself into that mindset? I need Jesus right now. Yeah. I don't need a bag of potato chips.
Yeah. How do you shut down the spiral?
Yeah. Because I've yet to figure that out.
And that's what are the good ways that you found to get out of the spiral?
I've never been in a spiral.
Okay.
Not like
so you don't get to answer the question.
Yeah.
For me, it's about creating good habits in the non-spiral moments. Because the dangerous part when we get, because we, whether we have rock bottoms or whether just lulls in our life, whatever you want to call them, less than fun times will come to each and every one of us, some of them deeper than others. But if you're not reaching out to God in the good moments or have a good faith pattern in the great moments, or just your, most of the time, all of us are having average moments.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have that habit, then it's a lot harder to jump in and say, you know, oh, I need Jesus right now. So if, you know, of course, if some of our listeners or viewers are going through, you know, lulls or rock bottoms, you know, we're going to talk more about, you know, what you can do in those moments, but I'm willing to bet most of our listeners aren't. And if I encourage people, create good habits, because that makes, when those dark moments come, you know where to turn. It's not something, what do I do now? Like for me, I can tell you in some of my darkest moments in the last couple of years, scripture was the thing that kept me sane, because God has a track record of supplying for his people. It's not always instant. Sometimes there's a good stretch in the Bible where we'll call Bible heroes had to go through some dark stuff, but I looked through those stories and saw how God provided. But it was because I created habits of doing it when things were great or average that I could do that then. I can tell you, if I didn't have that moment, like at that, the last lull I was in, my workout happened. habits weren't great. So I did get the advice of working out, you know, endorphins, that's good for you. That I didn't really turn to that because I didn't have a good habit of doing it for the couple months preceding that. But I had a scripture habit.
But you've also brought up the fact that you like to avoid things.
Yes.
You've said that in the past. You said it just tonight.
Yes.
In the past, in other podcasts, you brought up, I'll avoid these things as much as I can. Mm-hmm. So this good habits that you're talking about, mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's not one of them.
No, it's not. And because and that's not saying that it made my negative coping mechanisms go away. Like, I think that's part of the part of us being sinful, broken humans. But it made it from get my scriptural habits made it so that it didn't get a lot worse.
I think too, it's like it's kept you from that rock bottom.
Yes,
we're floating. We're not completely sinking and drowning. They're holding us up.
I mean,
to a certain level.
You literally using the metaphor you did there, drowning. Mm-hmm. It kept me from the moment of okay, I can tread water at least to go
till the ship comes.
Yeah, versus flailing and making it a lot worse because that is my first reaction is when something is going wrong is basically explode. Mm-hmm. I gotta fix this right now. Come on. Blah, blah, blah. And I make it 100 times more more awful than it is. So scripture was that thing that kept me treading water. Avoidance was definitely and still is when things get during the last major lull. We were living in Omaha and our house had a basement and my wife will tell you I hung out there more than I should have because there was good TV and good movies there nothing bad happens that sticks around in comedy shows.
Yeah. but that's one of those one of those things. So a couple of things that my counselor keeps popping into my head. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the exact wording, but kind of what you were talking about, Casey, is one of the things he likes to say is that when you're squeezed, what comes out is what you're made of. Something along those lines. I don't know the order, but if you're filled with not goo, if you're filled with Jesus, and when you get squeezed, when those tough times comes, that's those good habits. Those are what comes out. If it's
things that make your butt big.
That's literally what you're filled with then. But
what
those,
if it's anger? Well, say you're filled with anger.
Yeah, that's what
when
comes out.
Push comes to shove.
That's what comes out.
Blame, selfishness.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, again, we're all poor, miserable sinners. So when it's not always going to be sunshine and cupcakes that's coming out. Now, cupcakes also make your... If
cupcakes and some sunshine are coming out of you when you get squeezed, then that sounds gross.
Awesome. It does.
But
we're taking the analogy too far.
Habits. If that's what you fall back on, it's because you've built those habits ahead of time. But if your habits are going back to alcohol or going back to drugs or going back to screaming at your children because then you can pass that out of you onto them, then that's when those good habits aren't being built in the interim. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember what else I was going to say, but that was the one that was sticking with me.
And I think it takes scientists have said it takes 21 days to turn something into a habit. So
yes,
I thought it was 30 days.
It's even longer.
Oh, I also thought it was 40 days.
It's longer. 40. Yeah, I'm sure it's 40 days. Wander in the wilderness.
Well, go back with 21. Start there.
So you have your book open here.
Stacey did homework.
I don't know. This was just my devotion this morning, and I thought maybe that can be helpful. But
maybe I don't know.
It just stuck with me. But it says healing. This is a Beth Moore Whispers of Hope devotional prayer. There we go. Healing is found in God's word, not just in seeking healing, but in seeking Him. We can be children of the living God and still sit in darkness and the deepest gloom as prisoners suffering in iron chains because we refuse His counsel. The writer of Psalm 119:92 testified to the healing power of God's word. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Only God can set you free. His word can soak the chains from your wrists. And I think that's where I go a lot is I sit in that deepest gloom and I think, oh, woe is me and this is hard. And God, I know you can pull me out of this. But in those moments, how often am I really seeking Him? Especially this last year, I've seen that pattern, that negative pattern in me of, oh, this is just this COVID year. And this is just, we've been in isolation and there's nothing I can do about it. And I think that negative spiral is continuing in me that when things get better, I will see God's hand more instead of how do I see your hand now, God? And I've been challenged by two friends in particular this last year, one who lost a baby this last year and one whose baby is very sick. And both of them, watching them go through that, I'm like, that's what's missing in my heart, in my life, is just that trust and that vulnerability with God that says, this stinks. And it's so much more what I would consider worse than anything I've ever faced, what they have gone through this last year. But to see their faith shine makes me say, okay, God, they're taking you seriously. They're taking your word seriously, and they're doing what you ask them to do by seeking you. They don't know the outcome. They didn't know the outcome. This is not what they prayed for, but they're actually turning to you, not just seeking the healing, but seeking the healer.
They're just giving it. They're right. Turning everything over.
Yes. And it's just been so convicting in my own heart. Like, I'm just sitting over here wallowing and saying, save me, God, when what am I giving back?
Yeah.
How am I seeking him? I struggle honestly, with that, truly in this.
That too sometimes, because I'm like, this isn't that bad. I'm like, this may seem terrible, but I'm like, this isn't that bad. There's others out there that have gone through so, so much, and their faith is so strong. And it's like, oh, it's mind blowing because it's like, how can you, how?
Yeah.
That's
right. When God talks about Sabbath rest, and resting with him, I think we've talked about this. The Hebrew word for Sabbath is Shabbat, which means to stop. But you have to slow down to stop. And I think, you know, Casey, you and I are very similar in terms of avoidance. Like, I like to just say, well, if I go from this, I'll just put on the brakes. And the way that I can get my mind off this is watching some dumb show on Netflix.
Yep, that's me.
But how do you slow down, not to escape whatever this is, to recognize what you're going through, to recognize the pain, the hurt, the struggle, but then slow down for that loving union with God in the midst of that. Because right, it's that loving union that we're called to seek, not the healing, not the escape from the pain. But it's that loving union with God. Because even David, you know, he'll say, how long, O Lord? Be gracious to me, deliver my life. But then later he'll talk about just, you walk with me through this valley. So how do you slow down, slow your mind down, right? So that you're not spiraling out of control, slow your life down so that you're not doing all of this stuff, because as long as I stay busy, I don't have to think about whatever this is. How do you slow down, to give yourself a chance to spend time with Jesus?
I was hoping you'd tell me the answer.
I mean, I have.
That's kind of what I was
come
like.
Come on, man.
I'm like, all right, that's the answer I'm looking for. Where is it?
I have an answer that's worked for me for the last 2 weeks, but because I'm a spiraler. Like I said, I'm a spiraler. I had to talk to my counselor about it and say, I sit in this and I think 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 and I get into places that I didn't need to get to. And the answer was very, he's a very strong LCMS guy. The answer threw me off because it felt very new agey, and it was meditation. And now he said, now let me disclaimer this, the main purpose of, I'll call it, secular meditation, is to reach this nirvana, this state of just peace, but he said meditation, what it does, it gives an opportunity for your mind and your body to settle so that you can spend time with Jesus. And so for the past few weeks since we've had that, I got an app for my phone that's been very helpful, and I meditate and then I do my devotion, and it has just, I've been at more peace in the last 2 weeks than I have in a long time. And it's not like I haven't been insanely busy and I haven't had lots of different things going on, but I've been able to calm my mind down enough and calm my body down enough to stay out of the spiral. Now, I still like the app, I'll tell you, it's called Headspace. It's
not sponsored.
Not a sponsor. quite expensive.
But not when you've used it a lot.
I've used it every day. And I, like, honestly, it's got this little thing. It'll take you on a journey to put you to sleep. Like, it takes you on a train ride, or it takes you through the forest or whatever. Like you did
to grandma's house.
Like when you, in class, when you'd put your head down and your teacher would say, now picture this, and you're on, and it was just this, but I will pass out to that. that in 30 seconds. Yeah. Oh, it's just, and I've slept hard. But there's still, I will tell you that, like, I don't fully sponsor everything on there, and I wouldn't. It is a secular meditation app. There's, you know, there was a, because we won't get into this too much, but there was the gay pride excitement video on here, and I was like, all right, next. So you have to move past some things. And again, it's going to try and get you to this sense of peace and nirvana, but really it's just an opportunity for me
to quiet your brain,
to quiet my brain. We've used it with my kids at night to
quiet their brains.
There's kids versions. It kids sessions where it has them think about their toes falling asleep and then their feet falling asleep and then their legs falling asleep.
Speaking of kids, we know that
I need to go get my kids.
Yeah, Stacey, go.
Stacey needs to go get her kids. So we're going to say adieu.
Bye, Stacey. Bye.
And I promised her that I would shut the camera off.
You should probably wait until he shuts the camera off.
Oh, hold on. Let me put it on a solo outlet.
That wasn't the deal.
All right.
That
wasn't I'll let everybody deal. Look at me. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, Paul.
And then when she walks by, okay, now we're done. All right, there we go. Bye, Stacey.
Drive safely.
We'll miss you.
Bye. P.S. I haven't asked. Can somebody give me a ride home?
Yeah, I can get a ride home. Okay. One of us will give you a ride home.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, friends.
We will fight to give Anthony a ride.
You have to walk.
It'll
be good for you.
You know, you talk about coping mechanisms and strategies of dealing with the spiral that you guys talk about. And, of course, I'm sitting here. Now I'm overly analyzing. You're talking about overly analyzing. I'm not overanalyzing. I'm just analyzing. It's like, okay, well, I don't really remember going down a spiral. There have been stressful times in my life. Mm-hmm. But I've never been to this point that I... and then have anxiety and then have to go get medications for it or whatever.
Right.
And so I keep on thinking of when during those times of stress, what I do. And I think the biggest thing, I had to boil it all down to one main thing, is that I am, I'm like this with everybody anyways, but I'm even worse with myself. I'm overly honest with what's going on. I'm even like that with anybody, but to myself, I'm like, what exactly is going on here? And why, even, that's why I asked you about the avoidance thing, because I don't do that. I turn right to it and go, what is happening here? Is it my fault? And if not, what is going on?
Yep.
And then because it maybe it's just a guy thing going, oh, I got to figure out how to fix this, but it's not really that. There was a lot of times like I would actually sit there and go, this feeling I'm feeling right here, this gut thing and all this feeling, what exactly is causing it? And I've gone through this whole thing of going down a list. Is it this? Is it this? And I find that when I actually put my thumb on it, that feeling seems to go away.
Yeah.
And one advice I got, on that is, I only heard this about a month ago, but it's really stuck with me to stop my spiraling moments, is prove your feelings. Like, what you're feeling, give actual evidence, find actual evidence as to why you feel that way. And like, is it actually, and sometimes, yes, there should be something I need to deal with. And sometimes it's like, nope, that was some sort of anxiety that you're worried about that hasn't happened yet, that might never happen. There's no evidence to that. Stop as much as you can.
Yeah. And as parents, have you ever just had like a fleeting thought, knowing that you're like, for instance, Will does this to me all the time, because I know that if I say, Will, stop, don't run into the street, he won't listen to me.
Challenge accepted.
Well, and so I always have these like, oh my God, he's gonna get hit by a car one day.
Oh yeah. Because they're, as much as we talk to our kids about, making sure you look both ways before you ride your bikes.
They're kids.
But I mean, that, not just like, even like, I'm worried that one day he'll be like, oh, I want to go over to this van that he's gonna grab this, it's weird thoughts.
Yeah.
That are some of, I mean, there's precedence in the world that these things happen. The likelihood of that happening to my kid is very small.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you sit there and go, oh, I can overthink this, but at the same time, you still have those thoughts. But to me, it's like, all right, well, that's...
It's the overwhelming urge to keep them safe. It's the overwhelming urge to keep your loved ones safe. So sometimes when you're like, oh man, I really want to tell him, Will, stop, but I'm afraid to tell him, Will, stop, because he'll just keep on going. So maybe if I don't address it, then maybe he will realize, oh, there's a car there.
She's overthinking, yes. Isn't she?
Yeah. Well, we're going down. I don't want to like loom on the example. I'm just saying,
sorry.
There's all these different things that come into play. And
can't help it. I'm so sorry,
you
Paul.
Should meditate. Take five deep
Maybe
breaths.
I should.
Well, and
imagine your toes falling asleep.
And that is actually another coping mechanism of mine, is that I make sure that whatever example because I put everything into examples and metaphor, and I'm sitting there going, all right, but I'm not going to dwell on the example. Don't
get
sucked into the example. I don't know. I just want to make sure that I'm not missing something, because I feel like I kind of left out on the smiling group over here. And if that's
yourself lucky.
No, I just don't. I don't. don't know.
You could join us. It's not that fun.
Join the crazies over here. No, I just want to know what is happening. Like what you're turning the meditation.
Yeah.
You're going to avoidance. You're going to go eat chips or something.
Oh, that's terrible, Paul. But
yes, accurate.
It's not chips, but yes.
I mean, I'm just wondering what...
You pretty much just called me fat on a podcast.
I did not.
That's how I'm taking that right now as a woman.
I mean, if...
You're overthinking.
It is the COVID weight. I will admit that. But anyways.
I mean,
see, he could have
called
honest.
By avoidance, he could have called me lazy too. So, you know.
Oh, that's there not, we go.
Well, yeah, you basement dwelling laziness. I don't know. I just...
Like a hobbit.
I'm going to dig myself into a hole.
What are you asking?
I'm asking the question is, are we internalizing this stuff to ourselves or actually... Are we turning it to God and going, please take this? And that's really what... Yeah.
I'm internalizing it to myself because I'm trying to figure out how I can fix it.
Yeah.
And is that causing more spiral than not?
And maybe, yes. In truth be told, it's not even my situation to fix. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to make everybody happy.
Well,
sorry.
Go with the rest of us.
Well, if you go... So I'm going to give an example that doesn't connect this. If you go in to the church that we worship in at Trinity Lutheran, there's a beautiful cross that hangs in the entryway that has a lot of the names that Jesus is known by. And there's many of them.
Yeah. It's on the cream-colored wall by the hand sanitizer.
Oh, I don't go over there.
But it's by the entrance to the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Likewise, there are names that are given to Satan in the Bible. He has not as many as Jesus, but there are several of them. One of the main ones he is called is the accuser, meaning one of Satan's favorite things to do is to accuse us of things that we are not, or focus on things that we have done and to beat us down, because Satan wants to use any weapon possible to tear us apart from God, whether it's something we've done, whether it's guilt, whether it's, you know, whether it's those spirals, whether it's indulging in something. He accuses us of being less than something. And in most cases, Satan is right on some level. We are imperfect, but his job is to separate us from God. And if that can be the spirals, if it can be overeating, avoidance, or coping in something else, he will use it. It is his job to get you away from heaven. That's why it is important to cling to God, because what God calls you, he never accuses you of what you've done or what you think you might have done. He calls you my child through baptism. So I think is exactly what you were saying, Paul. It's what Satan does to us. We sit in it. It's it's part of it being in the spiraling crew over here. It's I know that's what Satan is doing to me.
Well, I was thinking of even Stacy's comments before. She had those feelings during your guys' little escapade, and she listed off like 10.
Yeah.
And one of them was shame, and one of them was, you know, not that disappointment, but like she was worried that people were, you know, what she said actually used like the red scarlet.
Yeah, the scarlet letter. Yeah.
And so it's like some of this stuff, even though you guys in your heart and everything, that like that situation is ridiculous.
Right.
Yet
there's still that, but what if?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's still that shame of my daughter broke her leg. Like, and we were taking that on ourselves. One of the things, again, I'm talking a lot about my counselor. One of the things, just in case if you are in a dark place, if you are at rock bottom, we talked about this either last week or the week before, but find someone to talk mm-hmm. to. Talk to someone. A professional. Like I said, I said this that time as well. Pastors, we will pray with you. We will read God's word with you. We will mentor you and spiritually work with you. But we're really not trained. Most of us, some are, but we're not trained counselors. I had one counseling class. And so some of these things we can help. We can have conversations with. But I'm going to encourage you to seek someone who's professionally trained. And if it's Grace Point in Omaha, that's where I go.
Or Lincoln.
Yep. they've got places. They're in both places. Grace Point, it's relationalhealth.org. It's just fantastic.
And that's who I sought out, because I was spiraling so bad. I didn't think of it. It took my wife going, this isn't good. You should think about seeing someone. Yep. And I had this whole, you know, I'm a guy. I don't need that. And it took about 5 minutes into my visit for the first time going, I needed this.
Yeah. Because it's good that we talk.
I mean,
God said we shouldn't be alone.
Right. But we try and
suck ourselves.
Yeah. Avoidance.
Yeah. But absolutely. But seek someone. But one of the things that he told me at the very beginning of our conversation as I was talking about this spiral, he's like, why do you spend so much energy worrying about things that you have no control over?
I asked the same question.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you guys look at me like, because I'm like, it doesn't matter. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I know. But
why? And that stuck with me. And that's been part of the reason I've been in a place, a much better place.
Oh, sure. The doctor says it.
Well, because he
sticks with them. I say it for months and he's just like, whatever, Paul.
But it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. I paid him. No, actually I didn't. Because check your insurance. Mm-hmm. Call your insurance company. They may have
your insurance company pay for them.
Yeah, they may have certain benefits for free counseling for 6 to 12 sessions a year.
And as someone who's on the insurance industry, I can tell you that is a vastly growing trend. If it wasn't in your benefits even like 3 years ago, seriously, check. They are changing rapidly because the world is coming around to this idea that it is needed, like, okay, and helpful.
Like, mental health is important, mm-hmm. and it is. So thanks, Paul, for trying to get that across, but I needed to be in a different place to hear it.
I know.
From a certain person.
I don't really care.
So, yeah, it doesn't matter, Paul.
It doesn't matter. As long as you heard it.
Yep. And that's where, like, I had to hear that. I do. I spend so much energy, and I also don't sleep, so I spend energy, and I lose sleep.
So where you gain energy, you're not gaining it.
So, I never get the energy, and it's just, and then when I'm tired, it's so much more easy to spiral.
That was the other one I was going to go to if you had to bring it up. Like, I am by far the worst, whether it's spiraling, avoidance, or just negative outlook when I'm tired.
Yeah. Yep. And other than
and hungry.
The only other advice I would have, and you can hear me now or wait till your counselor tells you later. Yeah. Is to be blatantly honest with yourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't think any advice that I've ever had in my life, and I've given listened to a situation, is that I've always said we're going to be honestly looking at this thing, and regardless if it hurts your feelings or you don't want to hear it, because to be honest with you, that leads to, I feel like that leads to more spiraling than anything, is sitting there going, well, I don't really want to face this, and I don't want to hear what is going on.
100% yes. Yeah. Right. Guilty as charged.
All right. Yeah. So, anyways, the point is that you guys can pay me later. Have your insurance company. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Pretty sure they don't approve this location.
No, sorry. Yeah.
They're not in my network.
Not my network. I'm out of network.
Nope. Sorry.
But depending on your coverage, they might still give you something.
And if you really need something, go hug Katie. Katie the Comfort Dog.
Yes.
That helps.
Pure Trinity is an awesome ministry.
She's getting back. And we are in the process of a second dog. And so we're expecting. And so we're looking for new, because we have to create a whole new team. So if you'd love to care for a puppy.
I would love to.
If you'd love to.
Nope.
Work with, be what's called a handler, where you are in charge of making sure Katie follows commands, and your job is to keep Katie's the new dog safe.
Fido.
Won't be Fido.
We'll call it Fido until we.
But or ministry partners, where you go with, and you are trained in those. You were, and everyone that, because we had Katie team talk at all the services, and every one of them as they got up there, they're like, 3 years ago I never would have even thought about standing in front of people and talking, and they were all
up there talking
because because they've gotten out of their comfort zones, and it's not always easy, but they've brought through that process, been able to bring so much comfort to those who really have hit rock bottom, who have, you know, they've been to multiple shootings and disasters, and been able to bring comfort where comfort is needed. So if you're interested, you do not have to be a member of Trinity to be a part of that ministry. And so if you're interested in that, especially active or retired military, active or retired law enforcement, Katie gets different vests. So there's, or the comfort dog gets different vests. Katie is military vested, but not... law enforcement vested, because to have that vest, she has to be one of the handler with her has to be
retired,
active or retired in that area. So if you are one of those, if you're active
or you know somebody
active or retired, feel free to reach out.
Yeah, and I still have plans to try to get Stephen Ministry program yep. going.
It's in the budget.
It's in the budget.
Yay.
Okay. So, well.
Yeah. There you go.
On top of that. Anyways, do we want to finish up? Who's praying today?
It's me. I was just seeing if anyone was going to like jump in, but it was me.
A live prayer? Are you kidding? I might have. How do I prepare for that?
Talk to Jesus.
Let's start thinking about it.
When you get squeezed, what comes out of you is what you're made of. So
giggles.
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you that you are in control. And we don't have to spend time worrying about things that are beyond our control. We don't need to worry about tomorrow. Today has enough worries of its own. And you just call us to focus on today, because you will take care of us. You will, like the grass of the field is clothed, like the birds of the air are fed. You know that we need those and you provide. And so we just ask that you would be with those who are at rock bottom. That they would be able to cling to you, and that you would through your church here on this earth, through individuals, through what, maybe it's a Comfort Dog Ministry team or whatever it is, through your word, that you would bring them comfort, and that you would stand them up, and that they might put their feet on that solid rock of Jesus. And we just thank you for that solid foundation that we can have. And we also want to pray for those who are not at rock bottom, who are in those good places, that they could be putting different things into place, and so that when they do get squeezed, that what comes out of them is love and joy and peace and patience and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And we just ask that you would continue to work in their lives, continue to work in our lives, so that your name might be praised in all the nations. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
So my question is to you: when you're squeezed, what comes out of you? Do you avoid things? Are you honest with everything that's going on in your lives? And are you currently taking these issues and just putting it into a little bag and carrying it around with you? Or are you going to turn it over to God and say, I can't handle this anymore? Those are the questions that we kind of talked about today. And I hope that you guys will talk about that with your families and your friends and with yourselves.
Yep. Or with someone professional.
Yes.
Yep.
So anything else?
Nope.
Diaper drive. Any Good Shepherd people watching, we want you to lose.
Mm-hmm. We all win.
We all win.
We all win.
But you're going to lose.
But Trinity needs the win.
But bring him to Trinity. You can order, even if you're nowhere near Fremont, you can order them on Amazon or Walmart or Target or wherever you, or Kirkland.
Wherever.
1546 North Luther Road, Fremont, Nebraska, 68025.
There you go.
Send them right there.
There you go.
Shameless plug for diapers.
Diapers.
Oh. Gotta cover the butts.
Just so you know, those diapers then will go to Lutheran Family Services, that they'll be distributed to all those families in need in our community. So,
and on that note, we say bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.